order the House Committee on Information Management and Technology. We're going to have a public hearing and a possible work session on House Bill 3145. And the work session is now convened. Public hearing is now convened. Pat, I'm glad you're here. So if you knew how hard it was to be a freshman, you wouldn't giggle. And who do we have first?
Dash one amendment.
First.
You want to mention the dash one amendment?
We do have a dash one amendment, and
I think we have someone here to talk to.
And Dallas, if you'll explain the bill
sure.
to us.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, House Bill 3145, as drafted, was the result, quite hurriedly, as I might add, of the public hearing that was heard a few weeks ago on the information security. We had testimony by the Secretary of State, by the Treasurer, by information, by the Department of Administrative Services, and also by a consulting firm that specializes in information system security. And so House Bill 35 was quickly drafted, kind of bullet points, and the chair found he had a bill being drafted in Ledge Council. We could not, it was too late for bill dropping your own. So it's under his name, but he managed to insert that bullet points, and so we got the first rough of House Bill 3145, which addresses and provides the responsibility for information systems security in the executive department. That it puts that responsibility with the Department of Administrative Services. The dash one amendment that you have before you actually fleshes that out a bit. Is a little clearer about some responsibilities and actions, and was a result of input from a lot of people. So that's my summary of the bill. It does have an emergency clause to take effect upon passage. The reason for that is because of the information, the security issues facing our information systems throughout the state right now.
And with that, we'll hear from you, Don Fleming.
Representative Dallum, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Don Fleming. I'm the state CIO, and I have with me Teresa Messé, who heads up the security function for the state. We provided you with a written copy of my remarks. I'm here to testify in support of House Bill 3145. I think it is precisely what we need at this particular time, given the vulnerabilities and risk exposure that the state is confronted with. In the past, for the last several years, the state...
Are you speaking to the amendment or to the bill?
To the bill.
With the amendment.
Let me quickly get through the background, but in the past, as you're aware, the state has really addressed security issues from an agency-centric point of view. And the recent vulnerability assessments that we've done have demonstrated that approach is not adequate, and that we need to take an enterprise approach to dealing with our security issues. And so what HB 3145 does is support really the establishment of an enterprise cybersecurity program, and it sets the out the necessary responsibilities and authorities that would have to go along with that program. What I'd like to stress, though, is that the approach that we're really recommending here is what we've called a hybrid approach. And in the hybrid model, the agencies continue to have a significant responsibility for security, but it occurs within the framework of the enterprise program. And that the enterprise program is a strategy that is put together and formulated in a collaborative way with the key agencies. So the key agencies, along with DAS, create the enterprise security program based on the facts that are discovered through the vulnerability assessment process, and that enterprise framework then becomes the context within which the agencies develop specific action plans themselves. to support the security posture of the state. And so, as I said before, HB 3145 does provide DAS with the additional statutory authority that's needed to implement an effective enterprise security program. And there will, however, be additional DAS rulemaking that will be required to specify enterprise and agency roles necessary to implement HB 3145. Quickly, some of the IRMD responsibilities or DAS IRMD responsibilities that are necessary in order to have an effective enterprise program is that DAS IRMD would be responsible for leading the development and implementation of enterprise security plans, policies, and standards. And again, let me stress that that process would involve engage the key agencies in a collaborative way in producing that program. And then to coordinate and manage enterprise vulnerability assessments. And these assessments drive the planning process. In these assessments, we determine factually what the risk exposure is that the state's current configuration is, and we, from that, determine what sort of strategies we need to put into place to reduce that risk exposure to an acceptable level so that we manage our security programs and the investments that we make in those programs based on facts, a factual assessment of where we are. During this period and into the future, we can expect that regardless of our efforts, that the state will occasionally and successfully be attacked. And for that reason, as part of the recommendation, we are establishing an incident response program. And the incident response program is the reactive component of the cybersecurity program, which says in the event of an attack, okay, that we would mobilize a team of experts that were trained in defending the state, and their job would be to contain and then quash the attack in the shortest possible time, because the damage and disruption to the state of a successful attack is directly proportional to the length of time it takes to contain the attack. And so if you want to think about it, a good analogy might be a SWAT team to deal with an emergency situation. It's engaged, okay? It has special rules of engagement, authorities that go along with being able to deal with these emergencies, and then it's stood down at the end of the emergency. And so most of the elements of the program that we've talked to you about are preventive in nature, but this particular element, the incident response team, is reactive. And is in response to, in effect, a successful attack against the state. In order for this to work, there's going to be quite a bit of rulemaking in terms of what are the rules of engagement, how is an incident defined, who declares the incident, who has the authority to stand down the team, and so forth. And you've already covered that in a general way in the statute, but there will be additional administrative rules necessary to define that. Another subject that we've talked about, and in fact in the earlier meeting that which led rise to this the drafting of this bill, we talked about vulnerability assessments. One of the things that we need to be careful of is that the vulnerability assessment process is managed and controlled in a centralized way, because if we have multiple organizations unilaterally conducting assessments, those assessments will look to the security defenses as attacks. And it will be potentially very disruptive from that point of view. And furthermore, many of our systems themselves could be taken down by the actions that would occur during a vulnerability assessment. So the need to manage this kind of a process very carefully and very closely is obvious because of the fact that some of our systems would, in fact, or could, in fact, go down as a result of just being scanned in the vulnerability assessment. The other responsibility that IRMD, DAS IRMD, would have with respect to this program is to ensure that the agencies do develop and implement remediation plans in a timely manner which address the results or the vulnerabilities that are discovered in either an audit or a vulnerability assessment process. And again, I think the principle that we discussed quite a bit in the last time we met was this concept of weakest link. and that as we implement Scenic and we produce a single coherent computing and networking infrastructure, it's not possible to permit agencies to make unilateral and independent decisions about whether or not they will secure systems and so forth, because we will all be connected together with this computing and networking infrastructure, and one person's vulnerability creates a vulnerability for everybody. So it will be necessary that as vulnerabilities are discovered, that the agencies respond to and remediate those vulnerabilities in a timely fashion in order to preserve the security and integrity of the entire computing and networking infrastructure for everyone that depends on it. Now, the bill spends a lot of time talking about the DAS IRMD responsibilities, but I thought it might be useful to mention specifically some of the responsibility that the agencies not only retain but must execute in order for the program to be successful, and that's on the last page. So in this new model, this hybrid model, where we have an enterprise program and that we have the agencies then conducting security activities within the context of that enterprise program, what are some of the responsibilities that the agencies would have? Well, one of their responsibilities clearly is to participate in the development and the implementation of the enterprise security plan. So the enterprise security plan is not something that DAS IRMD goes off someplace and creates all by itself, but it's created through a collaborative process involving the key agencies in the state and also involving the facts and data that are collected through various assessment processes, in particular a comprehensive vulnerability assessment. The agencies themselves will be dealing with agency-unique and specific security issues. For example, at the application level, different agencies have different computer applications or programs that automate the business processes that are particular and unique to that agency. There are security issues with respect to those applications in terms of who should have access to those applications and the data in those applications and so forth that need to be addressed. And so the agencies will be working very actively in terms of securing the application database elements of their computing and networking infrastructure. And further, for some time, the desktops and the local area networks will continue to be managed at the agency level, and those elements are also potential targets for security compromises. And so, as we discussed last time, a key element in the cybersecurity program is the patching of the systems that are connected to the network, and the desktops and the LANs would be within that scope of having to be patched and maintained secure. There are, beyond that, there are security requirements that are imposed on us by external organizations such as the federal government and so forth that agencies have to comply with, and some of the agencies interact with external parties, for example, federal government and so forth, where there are security restrictions over and above or in addition to those that would be identified through the cybersecurity program. And then finally, the agencies will participate, particularly in terms of if they are the target of an attack, in the incident response team. So if there is a security incident in a specific agency, some of their technical personnel will be engaged as part of the incident response process to contain the attack and quash the attack. So what I'm trying to say is that although there is an enterprise program, this is not a centralized versus decentralized kind of debate here. It is that we need a hybrid model where we have an enterprise program, because we'll have a single and coherent computing and networking infrastructure. But within that enterprise program, there will still be significant responsibility, okay, and activities at the agency level. But those activities and efforts must occur within the context of the enterprise plan, which, again, I want to emphasize that the agencies participate in a collaborative way in creating and formulating. So we work together to formulate the enterprise plan to address the risk exposure identified for the state through the vulnerability assessment process, and then we divide the responsibilities between those that are performed at the enterprise level and those that are performed at the agencies to see to it that all the activities necessary to secure the state occur. And that's the program, and the statute lays out, I think, very clearly and completely the type of authority that DAS-IRMD would need in order to implement such a program. So we strongly support it.
Thank you, Mr. Fleming. Any questions from the committee?
Yes.
Representative Cromwell. Pardon me?
That's okay. My hand was up, but I'll yield to Representative Brilli first. And since you were looking at him but calling on me, that's...
I'm feeling obligated to apologize.
I told you, back of your head here.
Okay. School teacher long ago.
He didn't have long...
Continue, Mr. Cromwell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
First of all, thank you.
Mr. Fleming, I want to welcome you back, and I'm glad to see you're moving around more freely, and I'm very, very happy for you.
Thank you.
I think this is an excellent bill. You know, we so often worry about how much money we spend on computers and networks and all those types of things, and I think we all too often fail to recognize the value of what we have. And it's not just in the hardware and the software, but it's the investment in the data and the information that's contained in these things, and some of which is very confidential. And unfortunately, the ability of hackers just grows exponentially. The expense of these types of attacks are probably beyond our calculation, and downtime and lost productivity and having to restore databases and all that type of stuff. So I think this is a very good effort, and I appreciate your support. A couple of specific questions, just to make sure I understand how this would all work. Under this bill, DAS would develop the comprehensive government-wide security program. But it does say in the -1 amendment, on page 1, lines 6 and 7, that the responsibility and authority for this would only be in the executive department. So, I mean, are we government-wide, or are we just one branch of the government?
Representative Burrow and members of the committee, that's exactly what the bill says. The state's computing and networking infrastructure today services traffic beyond state government and beyond the executive branch. And some of that traffic cannot be secured at its source, and yet that traffic needs to be serviced. The approach that we will use is that we will create zones within the computing and networking infrastructure where we can allow that traffic to flow so that it cannot interact with some of the critical state systems which it does not need access to. Or in the event that it does need access to those systems, it will have to be verified that traffic is proper and safe and non-threatening traffic before it's allowed to have access to those systems. It will be, I'll tell you the way, let me try to answer the question maybe this way. With respect to traffic that we cannot secure at its source, we will essentially treat it as if it came in from the Internet. And we have to interact with traffic from the Internet all the time anyway through the e-commerce strategy and so forth. Okay? So there are ways to service the traffic and service it quite well that does not involve bringing it under a regime of control, which you couldn't with Internet traffic, and allow that traffic to interact with some of our systems. There's other traffic that essentially is just going through our backbone to find its way to the Internet and back, and that kind of traffic can be completely isolated, doesn't need to interact with our systems. But you're right. The legislation is written, okay, does not include all of government. It talks about state government, and in some cases it talks about only the executive branch.
Follow up. Why limit it to just the executive branch?
Well, Representative Brilli, members of the committee, let me answer the question this way. I believe that we can successfully make this situation work. the more, and let me go even further. I believe we can make the situation work, and I believe the need for further authority, I could argue, would need to be demonstrated by encountering situations that we could not adequately address. I'm so sort of conservative about what we should request here. I think that we can make the situation work. If we found we could not, we would be back very quickly with facts, to as opposed to just saying, you know, give us everything and then we'll peel off the stuff that we don't find we need. Over time, I think we can make the situation work. Obviously, the degree to which you can control things, you can make things, your life simpler. But we have to deal with a lot of internet traffic anyway. The state has to be a pretty open computing and networking infrastructure anyway to deal with all the citizens of the state and all the kinds of computers and so forth that they are going to bring to the table. So we have to get pretty good at dealing with traffic that we cannot secure. And allowing it to interact with some of our systems, that's part of our business. That's part of the kind of an organization and enterprise that we are. So I think my position is probably best stated is I believe that we can make this situation work. And I am comfortable with moving forward with the bill as written. If it turns out that it's not adequate, then we will have a very concrete example of a problem with good documentation, and I believe that we'll be able to find people sympathetic towards changing the law to deal with the situation. But at this point, I can't anticipate or define a situation for you, which tells me right now today that we need more authority.
As I review where we went with this bill, Representative Burley, we started looking at scenic and looking at security in the administrative branch and drafted the bill with that in mind. We also wanted to avoid some problematic issues when we involved legislative and judicial process. That's not to say we couldn't go there, but at this point in time, this is where we settled on.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Mr. Fleming. I appreciate that answer, and I fully understand that and support that. May I, Mr. Chairman, one more question?
Certainly.
The bill after dash one amendment section one, what would be the new paragraph eight, DAS would promulgate rules to carry out the responsibilities of this section. And if I understood what you said in your testimony, Mr. Fleming, that is how you would help develop some of these agency specific actions and those types of things. And I'm just curious about oversight on those other agencies. I mean, you know, DAS is here before this committee. We're able to work on this and presumably have the oversight authority in the future. But how would we make sure that these agencies are you know, implementing this to the fullest?
Yes, Chair Dowling, Representative Burley. That's a very, very good question. One of the things we've talked about a lot are vulnerability assessments. We did mention, but we didn't emphasize it in front of this committee, that another part of the security program is on an ongoing basis. You're constantly monitoring that stuff is happening the way it's supposed to be happening. So it's sort of a trust but verify kind of relationship. So we will be monitoring the condition and state of systems, whether or not remediation has occurred as planned, and it'll be a part of just an ongoing process of constantly checking the computing and networking infrastructure to make sure that all, including the parts that we manage. I mean, we will very carefully study our own actions and whether or not our firewall rules have been updated and whether or not we've lost control over various, you know, so we'll be very careful about ourselves as well as everybody else that is part of the computing and networking infrastructure. Part of what Scenic allows us to do is, I've said before, it gives us a single coherent computing and networking infrastructure and essentially breaks down all of these little enclaves that we've had in the past that have prevented or made it very difficult, if not impossible, to see through the computing and networking infrastructure and actually be able to confirm what the condition is of the systems that are connected to the network. In the future, and with the agreement of the agencies, the key participating agencies, for example, in CNIC, okay, it will be possible for all systems connected to computing and networking infrastructure eventually to be assessed and to be verifiable that they are being maintained in a secure way. Also, one of the authorities that we will lay out in a rule is in the event that systems are not secure, okay, they may be disconnected from the computing and networking infrastructure in the interest of not putting everybody else at risk. All right. So this will take some time for all the eyes and ears to be put into place so that we have all the monitoring and sensing capabilities. But this program that we'll be implementing over the next couple, 3 years will give us that capability, and we will be able to confirm exactly what the status is of systems that are connected to the network.
Right. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Burr. Representative Cumley, you have a question.
Yes, I do. Thank you, Mr. Chair. A couple of things. Don, nice to see you again. Teresa, nice to see you again. Probably nicer to see you than it is Don, but that's okay.
We're lost control of this.
No offense, Don. With regards to the printed bill, I was noting, I was looking up in the statute, and so the executive department basically means that this bill, how whatever iteration, unless we were to change that line, this bill gives you basically all powers, if you will, over every agency in terms of information management.
Executive branch, yes.
Okay. And so, and then it also, in the amendments, in the dash one amendments, at line 12, we're going to say then that DAS, and I guess I would feel more comfortable if that was DAS IRMD, but anyway, that DAS has sole responsibility for, and then this litany of things that are in the list, correct?
Correct, and I take this to mean the computing and networking infrastructure of the state, because as we've indicated, there will be systems that are outside that infrastructure that will be able to connect to it and move, run traffic through. I'm sorry, if that wasn't clear. There is a computing and networking infrastructure for the state.
Right.
The state owns, it puts into place, and it manages and operates.
Right.
There are systems that are not owned by state government that belong to other entities, county level, municipality level, and so forth, that may connect to this infrastructure and take advantage of the connectivity that it provides to either state systems or the internet. Okay, those systems we would not be able to, or my understanding is those are not in scope here.
Right.
Okay.
And thank you for that clarification. I do understand that from, I think it's statute 174.112 that basically exempts the judicial department, the legislative department, local governments, and special districts, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you're going to have, for as far as the state, as far as the executive branch is concerned, you're going to have say over everything as far as the computing infrastructure and security is concerned with regards to this bill.
Chair Down, Representative Kribble. Yes, but I would like to make sure that you understand how we're going to approach that. The way we're going to approach that is DAS is not going to go off into some closet someplace and come up with some plan or program. We're going to, as we have been, engage the agencies, the key agencies, in a collaborative process to develop the enterprise security program that we will all live under, okay? And we will base that planning process on the facts that we collect through these vulnerability assessment processes, okay? It will also define through that planning process those activities that will not be performed by DAS IRMD, but activities that must nevertheless occur that will be performed at the agency level, and that there will be a verification process, as we talked about a few minutes ago, where we will go out and confirm that the patching did occur, that the machines are secure, that are connected to the network, that belong to agency X, and so forth. and that will be understood by everybody that's participated in the process. So yes, I mean, the way I think of this is having sort of a spark plug, you know, get it going process, but the enterprise program we will produce in a collaborative way with the other agencies.
Okay.
That's okay.
I just want to make sure that's clear, because I've, in many respects, the statute is, or this proposed statute is, giving you quite a bit of authority from a standpoint of what the other agencies, and it's not just, and it's not limited. I mean, it's all of the other agencies. The only folks that aren't affected by this, Mr. Chair, are the legislative branch and the judicial branch, although we may join in most likely if we want to. Also on page 2 of the amendment at lines 13 through 18, it says that Oregon DAS shall, Department of Administrative Services, shall develop and implement forensic techniques and controls for information system security, including the use of specialized expertise, tools, and methodologies to investigate events that damage or threaten the availability, integrity, or confidentiality of information systems or the information stored in information systems. And then it talks about that you have to consult with the Oregon State Police and the Office of Emergency Management and the governor in developing these forensic techniques and tools and controls. So my question is, are we going to, we already know that there are a lot of forensic tools and controls and techniques that are available on the open market. Matter of fact, the number one forensic company in probably the world is residing out in the Gresham area. So we know that those tools are available. What this leads me to believe is that we're going to basically bring somebody on staff who then is going to develop and implement all of this. That's going to actually develop the tools here, so they're going to be in-house, homegrown. And my only question would be is, at what cost?
Right. Chair Dowling, Representative Crummell. Let me go back just a second and say, what is the purpose of all of this stuff? All right. It turns out that by performing a forensic analysis on a compromised machine, you can gain insight into how the attack was mounted, and that can give you the ability in the future to better defend the state against such an attack. Also, people who are not as sophisticated as the people who are attacking us may think they have cleaned a machine and may think they have removed the compromise and then reconnect the machine to the network and only discover at some later time that machine was still compromised and was not a clean machine. So and remember that statistically speaking, 50 to 70% of all security incidents originate from within the institution. So it would be highly useful for us to learn as much as we can about where the attack came from and how the attack was prepared and mounted so that we can protect and defend ourselves. Now, how will we do this? I can tell you we will absolutely not go out and build all of our tools ourselves. Okay? We will take advantage of the technology that is widely available, high-quality technology that is best in class and is used, and we will, in the beginning, I think you will see us, in the interest of going fast, you will see us always start with at least a co-sourcing strategy where we have some external expertise matched up with some of our internal people. We will bring them up to speed, and we will use the technology that's best in class in order to create a capability so that we can do some forensic analysis. I think we will also look at, over time, how much of that forensic analysis is necessary to do internally, and is there any part or portion of it that we would want to do externally, okay? But the main thing is to create a single forensics capability and to not make this kind of investment repeatedly throughout the state, agency by agency, organization by organization. We don't want these kinds of tools and techniques to be propagated around the state. We want to have a single organization, a single center of expertise in this area. We will probably have some sort of co-sourcing strategy with it, because, quite honest with you, the state's business is not security forensics. It's supposed to worry about educating children and things like that. So we will build enough expertise so we can manage this kind of effort, and so that we can get the information that we need to get, figure out how we're being attacked, so we can defend ourselves better. But we will probably always use external expertise from firms that are in this business, and we'll have the most current and up-to-date information, because as somebody pointed out here, I think, just a few minutes ago, this is a rapidly changing industry, and the technology that the attackers have, okay, is very advanced and is improving daily. And unfortunately, this is an investment that we're going to have to make for quite a long time into the future in order to secure the information that we have and protect it from unauthorized access. Does that respond to your question?
That does. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Just a few questions,
sir.
If I might. Have you reviewed this piece of legislation with the Chief Information Officers Council? Has this been a topic of discussion?
Teresa Nelson, State Chief Information Security Officer. There has been some broad discussion of this at the Information Security Council, which is made up of representatives in who handle information security within about 22 agencies.
The purpose of the question is so that those agencies have some notion that this is up online and coming down the track.
Right.
And they're well aware of that.
They are very aware of that.
Then the second question on awareness, and I asked this more for the record than anything else. You talked about inside and outside the system. The counties will have an opportunity to participate when they're involved. Yeah. And I ask you that, Don, for the record.
Yeah. Chair Dillon, first of all, there is a representative from the county that sits on the CIO Council, and there's also a representative that sits on the Security Council as well. Now, having said that, we would not restrict or limit the access of the counties or the municipalities to just those two representatives. What we will do is we will make the participation level consistent with what is necessary in order to make the system work. I do not want to discover that we have traffic that we are unaware of by disrupting it as we implement our security strategy. So,
I ask you those questions, yes, for the record. Then the last question is, there seems to be concern. We're monitoring the progress of implementation on Scenic. And I'm certain that you will give us opportunity to monitor security progress either through the Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management and Technology, as well as ourselves. We may, in the final throes of this legislative session, call you back, ask what's been done. We're also going to ask how often, one of the provisions of the bill is that we have an outside look. And the outside look is to ensure that the latest tricks of the trade are brought to us from people that deal with it all the time. Another reason for the outside look is to monitor progress and measure it against what outsiders might expect. So, and both of those are covered in the bill. And you might I ask how often you would go for an outside look on an individual agency?
Chair Dillon, members of the committee, as a general rule, most people, most enterprises do a comprehensive, which is not individual agency, a comprehensive vulnerability assessment about every 2 years. And that really reflects the pace at which technology is changing, things like that. With respect to individual agencies, I mentioned earlier this continuous ongoing monitoring process, and we would on a continuous ongoing basis be monitoring. Obviously, you will focus that kind of activity into areas where you have concerns, or especially critical systems exposures or remediation programs that are in progress that you want to ensure are moving ahead at the right pace. So it's like anything else. When you're monitoring something, you don't treat everything the same way. You pay special attention to the stuff that's most critical or the stuff that you know is at some risk exposure or is under remediation or should be under remediation. So we will examine individual agencies at the frequency that they warrant, and we will do the formal comprehensive vulnerability assessment on a two-year interval, and that will be performed by a competent third party that is in this business and has state-of-the-art knowledge on the hackers and the technology and attack methodologies that they're using, and can advise us on the best defenses and so forth.
Any more questions for Mr. Fleming? If not, thank you again.
Thank you very much.
Next, I think we have Dave Kiskin.
Mr. Chair, thank you. For the record, Dave Fiske. I'm here representing a couple technology companies, private companies. One is Rapidyne, a technology consulting company with a substantial base of operations in Oregon, and the second is EDS, a nationally known company in the technology field. I thought, Mr. Chair, it was important, at least for some brief moment, and I will be very brief, just to allow you to hear a voice from the private sector, to endorse the Dash 1 amendments to HB 3145. Mr. Chair, my clients have appreciated the chance to talk to you at various points along the way of this session about this and other issues. These amendments, in the spirit in which Mr. Fleming has described them, describe what is a very real problem for state government. I even hearken back to my own 17-year experience in government to realize it was a long time ago, by the way, but nonetheless, we face some of the same challenges. And so, in that spirit, I would endorse these amendments. Companies I represent and others have a lot of confidence in Mr. Fleming and have appreciated the chance to deal with him, and these amendments would be no different than that. And I would point out to you again, just for the record, lines 20 through 22, which do indicate that the department will contract with qualified independent consultants, whomever they may be, to conduct these vulnerability assessments. Companies such as the ones I represent and others are interested in competing for the state's business. We're fully prepared to do that. The companies I represent haven't even seen these amendments yet because I just saw them for the first time today. So I thought it was important for you to hear at least a voice from the private sector. We're looking forward to the chance to work with Mr. Chair, this committee, as well as the executive department as this and other issues go forward. So with that, I'll stop and thank you for the privilege.
Any questions?
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Dave. And finally, Ken. Ken Murphy. And for the record.
Chair Dallin, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Ken Murphy. I'm the Director of Emergency Management for the State of Oregon, and I wanted to provide you my support for this bill with the Dash 1 amendments. We are part of this named in the legislation, and I want to just add to you that, you know, under the current statutes, I have the responsibility to provide an emergency service system for the governor for mitigation, preparedness, response, and recovery. And frankly, this has been one of those areas that just never have had the people, the technology, the money, all of those type of things, you know, to close one of the loops that not only our state but our society has become incredibly dependent upon computer systems to do literally everything in our day-to-day life. And I've worked with Teresa Massé. She sits on one of our committees. We've provided Homeland Security funding in the information technology area. Also in the Department of Homeland Security, one of the national scenarios that are considered the worst case that can affect this country is a cyber terrorist attack. So we have a lot of products and resources through the Department of Homeland Security that we can bring to this, and then also my office can assist, surely not with the cyber response team, but you know, if things do become bad, we have many other systems that can help in an emergency. So I just wanted to pass on my support for this bill. Teresa Massey and I continue to work together on this and look forward to filling this void in our overall plan to take better care of our state. Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Murphy? If not, we will close the public hearing on House Bill 3145.
Now we want to open a work session.
And now we will open a work session on House Bill 3145.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Crummell.
If I'm understanding correctly, I and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I will move the Dash 1 amendments be added to and made a part of House Bill 3145.
Representative Crummell has made a motion that we include the Dash 1 amendment. We don't need a second.
No second is needed.
Thank you, Representative Crummell.
Discussion.
I have to eat earlier. Discussion, please. Is there any discussion?
No.
Are there any objections?
No.
Well, I'm glad I have Representative Crummell
so,
here.
So ordered.
So ordered.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Crummell.
I would move House Bill 3145 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Any discussion?
The only point that I would make, Mr. Chair, is that this does give the department quite a bit of authority over the other departments, but I think that in following the enterprise model, particularly for information system services, it's extremely important that these decisions be made in one location, not made by each individual department. Because what we have found is that in the past, a decentralized security system for our information systems has not worked very well, because we have had departments out there that have been extremely vulnerable and that have been attacked, and we need to bring that under the enterprise umbrella.
Thank you. Comments? Maureen, would you call the roll?
Representative Burley?
Aye.
Representative Crummell?
Aye.
Representative Worth excused. Representative Witt excused. Chair Dolan?
Aye.
I'll carry it if you want me to. That's fine. I don't mind.
Representative Crummell will be the carrier.
House Bill 3145, I have never seen the Constitution.
House Bill 3145-1, having received a unanimous vote, is passed out of committee and to the floor.
With a due pass recommendation.
With a due pass recommendation, the carrier will be Representative Crummell.
God, I have never struggled so much.
Well, I think he added a few things.
You did great.
I do have a few other announcements I'd like to make. If you would like to put your name to the bill, because I did use a bill that I had in, I have a sheet, and you can put this on your letterhead, get an initial, and away we go, if you would like to do that. Other than that, I think that concludes the business for today.
That's correct.
And
thank you.
We're standing. Yep.
Thank you for the applause. Yeah. We know what we can get.